Do I have any West Wing fans here? Yes. If you did not watch The West Wing when it was originally on TV, go to Netflix, watch it, consider it a piece of pastorally advice from me to you. But I learned so much from watching the show. One thing I learned is this. Are you familiar with that phrase, good fences make good neighbors? Right, we've heard that. Did you know that that was actually from a poem written by Robert Frost? I didn't. And he was not writing to say that that's actually true. There was a conversation, and so one person on the other side of the fence was saying that. Robert Frost was saying, it's not actually the case that walls are what disconnect us from one another. So today we're continuing our series on being a good neighbor. And we're going to talk about what holds us back from that. What are the fences that we put in place that keep us from caring for one another? I think it might be helpful to start by looking at what a life looks like without these barriers. We have a great example in our scripture passage today when Jesus heals the paralytic man. What we know of the story, a group of guys wanted to bring this paralyzed man to Jesus. They couldn't get to him. And so they climbed up onto the roof, dug a hole in the roof, and let him through that way. Talk about creativity and persistence. We don't know the details of this story. I think that's because we don't have to. Was this a good friend of theirs or just some random stranger? We don't know. Doesn't matter. Did they like this guy, agree with his political views, think he was a good person? Doesn't matter. Did they have time that day to put this into their schedule? Doesn't matter. Were they worried about how other people would respond? Now listen, they dug a hole in somebody's roof. I'm sure someone was not happy. It didn't matter. This guy was in need of healing. They knew who could heal him. They cared for their brother by making sure he got what he needed. Can we say that we would do the same? Or do we let our fears hold us back? Maybe it's the clock. Life is so busy and we have a lot of things vying for our attention. There just always isn't adequate time to be a good neighbor. Can anyone relate to this? These are important things, no doubt, that are filling up our time. But I want to challenge us today that if these things are making us too busy to care for others, then our priorities are not in order. In God's economy, we are called to care for each other first. Worry about the other stuff later. What else? How about a fear of rejection? How often do we overthink doing something kind for someone because we worry about how they will respond? They might reject our offer for help. They might not want to spend time with us. They might judge us for our awkwardness in approaching them. We are introverted or socially anxious and just have some fear about initiating contact. I get it. This is my biggest holdup too. But we gotta figure out how to get over it, get through it, work past it. Maybe we have some internal work to do to get over our fears. Maybe we need to be more creative in our approach. Whatever it is, we can't let fear of rejection hold us back. And what about fear of the other? We are seeing all too much of this right now. Maybe we just don't like someone. Maybe we disagree with their political views. Maybe we judge their decisions. Maybe we're afraid of them, or we don't get them. It's still not an excuse. Even if someone else is not being a good neighbor themselves, then it's most especially our job to show them what that means. Our passage today said it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Whatever our reasons for being held back from caring for others, these fears, these hang-ups, are all just a mistaken sense of priorities. They answer to what the world says is important, not what God says is important. This is affirmed in the calling of the disciples that we read about in Luke. What I see in this story is the newly called disciples, specifically Peter, having to choose to trust Jesus over what they know of the world. These guys are professional fishermen. Jesus is not. And yet here comes Jesus telling them how to do their job after a hard night. They are already tired and frustrated from not catching many fish. And wise guy Jesus comes along and says, here, let me just tell you how to do that. Now, come on, be honest. If that's you and me, we're responding like, no, this is my job. This is my profession. I know how to do it. If the fish weren't caught tonight, there's no fish to catch. But Jesus persists, and Peter relents. And sure enough, their nets are filled with fish. So what's the point? Well, for one, Jesus can be trusted, even when what Jesus is telling us seems to go against what we already know. The disciples knew how to fish. They weren't amateurs. But Jesus knew something they didn't. And because of this, they dropped everything when he told them to follow him. No doubt they were afraid of what they had to leave behind, afraid of the unknown, afraid of the risk. But they chose to follow anyway. They chose to overcome their fears. And after this, they're commissioned to go and do the work of Jesus in the world. They are called to leave their jobs behind to follow Christ. This is the most defining moment for them. They could have answered to fear for their livelihoods, fear of what others would think of them, fear of dealing with people they didn't like or didn't know. They were human, so I imagine they had these worries just like we do. But they instead chose to join in on the life-transforming work of God, the powerful ministry of being a good neighbor, of catching people instead of fish. And the term used for catching people here was actually changed to a different term for catching, connected to the Greek word zoe, which means life. So in essence, they weren't just catching people for the sake of catching people. They were catching people to bring them into the abundant life that God had waiting for them. The world tells us to worry first about our careers, our reputations, our own comfort. The world tells us that good fences make good neighbors and higher walls will keep us safe. But God says no. Not in my kingdom. God knows that higher fences keep us divided. God knows that higher walls breed more fear. God says, in my kingdom, we love our neighbors first because nothing is more important than the well-being of every single person. God has created us to have fullness of life, and our number one priority is to protect this. And when my neighbor's fullness of life is in jeopardy, then so is my own. Desmond Tutu describes the African concept of Ubuntu as my humanity being inextricably bound up in your humanity. In other words, when you suffer, I suffer. It doesn't matter if you suffer behind a fence where I can't see you, both of our lives are still at risk. In 1 John, it says, perfect love casts out fear. There is no room for fear when we are loving our neighbors. My friend this week said, fear brings out the worst in us. I think she's right. Fear brings out our insecurities, our selfishness, our bigotry, but love brings out the best in us. Love brings out our generosity, brings out our faith and our hope. Love makes us drop everything that we are doing to pick up our neighbor who is suffering and take him to Jesus. Love gives us the creativity and the persistence to climb down through a roof to make sure she gets the healing that she needs and the new life she deserves. Fear runs away from those opportunities. Fear runs away from the risk. But love runs into them. What voices are you going to listen to? The voice of fear that tells you to put up a higher fence, or the voice of love that tells you to tear it down? Perfect love drives out fear. Our calling is to go deeper into love, abiding love, where everything else flows from that place. When that becomes the center of our being, there's no longer room for fear to exist. And then what naturally happens is we become a good neighbor, because there's nothing there anymore to hold us back. Love instinctively knows how to have the right priorities. Love is committed and persistent. Love inspires us to be creative and empowers us to be brave. And the best place to be filled with this love is right here as we come together at this table. It is here where we let go of our fears and all that is holding us back. We leave that behind and instead choose to break bread together, sharing in the feast of the God who gave everything so that we could sit here with all of our brothers and sisters. No one is excluded from this table. There is no place for who's right and who's wrong, for determining who's deserving and who isn't. No sin too great, no fear too strong. It is at this table where we are filled with the perfect love that casts out fear. It is at this table where we learn to be good neighbors. When we share in this meal together, we cannot help but be transformed. And when you leave from this table, may you be inspired to go home and create this same radical, life-transforming community with your own neighbors. It is here at this table where we learn how to sit around our own tables. Here, we are filled with the Spirit of God who empowers us to offer abundant life to the whole world. May our own tables reflect this radical inclusivity, this generous nourishing of our bodies and our minds and our spirits. May our homes and our hearts be filled with the love of God that tears down every wall, that climbs onto the highest roof, that leaves our nets behind in the water to go and care for people. You have been created by God to be a good neighbor. Living satisfied with anything less is depriving yourself and the world of the abundant life that God desires for you. So get past it, work through it, work around it, whatever you need to do, but we need to be intentional. We don't have time to waste being afraid. God is saying, here I am, listen to me, trust me. Out of all the voices screaming at us right now, God says, listen to me. I can be trusted. I have created you for so much more than your fears will tell you. I have created you for love. I have created you to be good, to do good. People are suffering, even dying, waiting for a good neighbor to come along and offer them the life-transforming love of God. You are the person they are waiting for. So go be that person. Love is on your side, and love never fails. Amen.